Today's reading is from 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 11. Please turn to 1 Timothy 4, 4 through 11, or turn to the page 830 in the Bibles provided. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. You may be seated. The children may go to children's church.
When I was in college, we'd sometimes joke, the best professor is a dumb professor. Why is that? Well, let me give you an example of my father. My father probably was driving a stick shift clutch when he was 4 years old. But you did not want my father to teach you to drive a stick shift. He just could not understand that you didn't know how it worked. He just thought you'd get in and know. Because that's the way he was. He was good at it. Maybe he was born driving a stick shift. I don't know. Both my sisters did not learn to drive a stick shift from him. I only did a little bit and learned on my own and then taught one of my sisters. You see, some people just don't get the basics. Imagine if you're at CCC and they have basic electrical classes, engine classes. If you're taking engines 101, like the basic class, and the professor starts talking about a torque wrench, and you're like, what's a torque wrench? And the professor cannot, the teacher, the instructor looks at you like, what do you mean you don't know what a torque wrench is? And you're like, excuse me, this is engines 101, the basics. See, some people, they're just so up here, they're smart, they get it, and they can't seem to teach it because they just take it for granted. Now, if you got a person who struggled, learned, you know, messed up, and then they become a teacher, they can kind of, I hate to say it this way, dumb it down so that if you don't know anything, they can teach you. They just have a heart for teaching. Because they understand what it's like to not know something. But for them, people who are gifted, and I'm glad we have them. I wasn't one of them. People who can kind of understand what it's like to not know and understand the basics really can make the best teachers. And see, when we read Scripture, it talks about foundational truths and being able to understand those. And Jesus Christ was God incarnate in the flesh, became flesh so that he could be amongst us. And he fully knew all our pains and trials and can relate to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we just pray your word would be with us. Lord, that we would learn the basic things that you would teach us. Hold on to the faith, the simple truths. And not just stay there, Lord, but grow stronger in your faith. We pray this in your holy name. One, amen and amen. So, Church 101, we are servants and ministers of Christ. It begins in 1 Timothy 4. He's been teaching the church. He goes, the Spirit clearly says in the last days, later times, some will abandon the faith, will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So, of course, the big question, are we in the last days? Let me tell you something. We all have a disease, and it's called presentism. We all live in the present. We all think about ourselves, and it's hard to think back through 2,000 years, or it's hard to think what's going on in other countries, because some of the things that we're going through now, other countries have been going through for decades. So when they were suffering, we didn't think it was the end times, but when we suffer, We think it's the end times. And we are triggered very easily because if we see empty grocery store shelves, we think it's the end times. Russia's been dealing with that for a century. So, is it the end times? Probably. It sure looks like it in many ways, but I wouldn't bet the farm on it. But we need to think big. We need to think about the whole scripture and all it has to offer. We need to think beyond our own world and live out our faith as a community of faith throughout the globe. Others are suffering also, and not just focus on ourselves, and understand the difficulties that lie ahead for us. And because of these things, because we're going through difficult times, godly teaching, Holy Scripture matters. And it goes, because Scripture is so important, it goes, such teachings come through hypocritical liars. From the latter days, they abandon the faith, deceiving spirits, hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. Pure evil. Taught by demons. You can't get any worse than that. No conscience left. Anything goes. That's what we're up against. Now, we've had it pretty good in the United States because we come from a country that has a Judeo-Christian background. But that's suddenly changing. Other countries have never had that. And here's some of the things that have happened in the past, happened today. They forbid people to marry, order them to abstain from certain foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe, who know the truth. They think that if you do these things, they have a form of godliness. And really the problem is, God calls us to fast sometimes and abstain from food. You know, The scriptures talk about the benefits of remaining single sometimes and not being married. But they're not commanded, like something that makes you holy. We get to man-made rules. We abandon scripture and come up with our own rules. Traditions are nice. We have a tradition of a Christmas Eve service. And some churches in town don't do Christmas Eve service. Does that mean we're more holy or following scripture more than them? No, I like that tradition. I love a Christmas Eve service. I love a Good Friday service. Other churches don't. It's a tradition, but we don't make it. And all you churches who don't do Good Friday, you're not of God. We don't do that. Some churches almost get that way. If you don't do what they do, it's a man-made rule. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. What God does is good. What we sometimes do, maybe not sometimes, maybe a lot, we mess it up. It's human nature. And we're called to go back to the basics. Stick with the foundational truths, as they'll get into. Go with what we know. Scripture, read the Bible. We need to know what God tells us. Nothing wrong with traditions until we impose them equal to Scripture. God is good to us. We'll mess it up. He knows that, but we're called to go back to Him. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. What God's given us is made holy. Things in themselves are not evil. It's what we do with them. But to be holy, to be holy means to be set apart for. What God's made, what we do, if we set it apart for God, it's good. Your TV isn't bad. Your computer isn't bad. Facebook isn't bad. What we do with those things is often terrible. We attack each other. We show filth. We can be mean to each other. But they can be set apart and used for the goodness of the Lord. And so then he says these things in verse 6. If you point these things out to our brothers and sisters, they will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith, of the good teaching that you have followed. We are called to be servants, ministers of Jesus Christ. That's a foundational issue. We're not here just to be a church, to meet for the sake of being a church. Rather, to serve each other, serve our community, to be minister out to our community, to the lost, to the unsaved, to the unchurched. To proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. If you point these things out, see, earlier in the book, in chapter 3, he said these things. I'm writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. These are the things he was talking about, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. We're the church, the body of Christ. Throughout the New Testament, he uses body analogy. All the different parts working together. As the body of Christ, we're all the different parts working together, representing his body. It talks about the head, the shoulders, the feet. They all work together. One without the other severely hurts the body. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. 1 Timothy 3. So he's talking about, if you point these things out to your brothers and sisters, the teachings of Jesus Christ, we are good ministers of Jesus Christ. We are called to proclaim the message. In verse 7, have nothing to do with godless myth and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Don't make things up. Don't add to it. Again, traditions aren't bad, but when we make them equal with Scripture and make them authoritative, and some things are even anti-Scripture. For it talks about, you know, we need to train our spirit. But he goes, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. It's good to work out and be in shape. That's good. But spiritual thing, godliness for all things. Holding promise for both the present life today and the life to come, eternity with Jesus Christ. What we do today matters. It has eternal significance. As ministers of Christ, we are talking about today, how we live our lives, but it also has eternal significance. It matters even beyond the grave. It is the most important thing in our life today and to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. This is why we labor and strive, because of these things. We have church. We meet together. We go through difficulties. Through the midst of COVID, we set up new ways to meet. We went online. We still met. We still meet. We have youth groups. We have outreach ministries. We do our Easter egg hunt. We do the harvest party. We have Sunday schools. This is why we labor and strive, because we put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. But why? Because it matters. It has eternal consequences. There will be fatigue. There will be hurt. There will be tiredness. But our hope and salvation in Christ, we worship the living God, knowing that the things we do in Scripture matter. And he says in verse 11, command and teach these things. Don't just learn them and go home, but command. Require them. Require these of all people. Teach. Teach the next generation. It's not just for us. It's to pass along, to get to the basics as he taught the next generation that we are all servants of Jesus Christ. So it's Church 101, the organizational structure. So how does this look today? A lot like 2,000 years ago. In some ways quite different. The function is the same. The function has never changed, to be ministers of Jesus Christ, the basics. And then we build on that. We build universities, we build seminaries, we build colleges, we build vacation Bible schools, we build missionaries, youth with a mission. But it's all going back to the basics of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the form's a little different. We have buildings today that are big. 2,000 years ago, they didn't. Doesn't matter what size your building is. Doesn't matter if you have a building. Doesn't matter if you have a tent. The function is the same: to worship the living God, to proclaim the good news. So we'll have our annual meeting today. And it's good for all organizations to have an annual meeting. You know that the Apostle Paul, when he went around and started churches, didn't need to set up bylaws. We do. Well, technically you don't have to, but for 501c3 nonprofits, it really is beneficial. It can protect you to incorporate. They didn't have to worry about that. They worried more about Roman soldiers and swords. We worry about IRS agents and ink pens. They're both dangerous. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. I don't want to get audited by the IRS now if they're listening. But, you know, it's the same, but it's different. They didn't have to worry about bylaws. They didn't have to worry about nonprofit legal issues. We do. You know, they didn't have to worry about membership requirements. We do. Now, some churches will say, we don't have membership. All churches have memberships. Because if I ask, well, who teaches your Sunday school classes? Who serves communion? Well, people we know and trust, who know Scripture, who we understand are believers. Oh, so you have membership requirements. Just maybe not for the general congregation. So it's always good. I mean, once a year I generally repeat and go over these foundational issues for they're good for us to know. So we have membership. Today, everyone's invited to our meeting after church. If you're new to the church, you've been here a long time. But we have a class of people who attend church who are members. We have a new membership class. We have to get to know you. Now, here's the thing. You can be a non-member and do more work than a member. But see, because we have bylaws, we have to have members. Members can vote for the council. Vote on the pastor, to get rid of the pastor. Vote on the budget. You can't be on the council unless you're a member. You can do all the work. I don't sit there and say, oh, you can't do that because you're not a member. But I tell you, even if you're not a member, once you do a Sunday school class or work or do something, we tend to know you. You know us. We know what you believe. You know, I always say this over and over. I'm not here to make members. I'm not here to have annual meetings. No one goes, oh, hallelujah, it's annual meeting week. I've been waiting all year long for this. Never met that person. Ooh, let's revise the bylaws. Won't that be fun? I bet we're going to get too many people on the committee for that one. We'll have to limit people who can come and help. Nope, never happened. But we need them. We need to do these things. It's the world we live in. So, today we meet, and it's good to review the year, to look through the next year, to approve our budget, to approve our council members. Getting to know each other, doing the work of the ministry together. I've said it over and over, everything happens in relationships. It's hard to work on a team and get something done when you don't know the people you work with. Once you know the people you're working with, trust them, know them, everything changes. I remember being a new employee at the VA, and people were leery of me. They didn't know me. You know, everything was professional on the phone. Yes, Doug, we have those. Yes, just place an order. No, Doug, we don't have those. No, Doug, we can't get those. Then you get to know people. What do you need, Doug? Okay, Doug, I'll do that for you, but could you do this for me? Oh, Doug, I can't believe you're asking that again. Okay, I'll do what I can do. See, when I was new, it's like, we don't have that. Sorry, Doug. But once they know you and you've done them favors and you work together, okay, we don't have that, but I will see what I can do. That's what you do for people you know. Everything happens in relationships. So we have to have membership, but even that is based on relationships, getting to know people. So for instance, everyone's welcome to our meeting today, but only official members can vote. It's not limiting that we want to say who can do what, but we have to follow our bylaws. It's like I say anyone can come to our church. An agnostic comes to church. An agnostic's the one who believes, maybe there's something out there. And I would invite them to church and say, you're welcome to come to church. I would want them to come to church. I wouldn't let them serve communion. If I went to an agnostic's meeting, an atheist meeting, they'd be glad that a pastor's coming. Oh, a pastor's going to learn what agnostics believe. And they'd try to convince me they're right, and I would understand that. But they wouldn't make me president. You see, again, some people are so smart, I think they're dumb. On some college campuses, they were telling Christian groups that they couldn't require their leaders to be Christians. I mean, I'm like, seriously, are you that smart? You're dumb. They would sit there and say, oh, you have a Christian group. And you mean the leaders on your group are going to discriminate? You're going to discriminate and only let Christian people who claim Christianity to be leaders? That's discrimination against non-Christians. Honest to God, people argued that. And you had to have court cases against it. Like I said, sometimes you're so bright, you're dumb. So, we as a church, we meet. We do the functions of a ministry. We have the form of a ministry. And we have to do these things. And we should never let those things get in the way of the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to do them. Some churches really get caught up in that, and that's all they're about. We have to do them, but really, the heart of our mission is doing a harvest party, reaching out to our community, having our youth group, bringing it back after COVID, reaching out to our community, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And see, as we get to know each other and work together, everything changes. And see, here's one of the things. He says, teach these things. We got to know what we believe. So Church 101 is, what do we believe? We have what we call our doctrinal statement. Many of you maybe grew up in churches that read the Apostles' Creed. There's different ways of saying it, but you say, this is what we believe as a church. So if an agnostic wanted to come to our church and says, hey, I've been attending for a year now. I think it's interesting. I'd like to become a member. We'd say, well, do you agree with our beliefs? And they'd say, oh, no, I don't agree with any of those things. But I really like you guys. We would politely say, well, we're glad you're attending. Please keep attending. You become friends, but you can't become a member. See, we believe like the Bible is inspired and only infallible, authoritative word of God. This church is not based on my opinions or your opinions. You know, I sometimes hear the joke, well, that might be in the Bible, but that's not my theology. Well, you need to change your theology and beliefs. We believe Scripture is God-breathed, inspired, infallible, different words we use. But it's what we go back to. I quote Psychology Today. I've quoted Discover Magazine, but this is our authoritative word. All wisdom is God's wisdom. But this is the wisdom for living out our faith. We believe in the Trinity, the triune God, that there is one God eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that. That's foundational to our church. And all these are on our webpage. We proclaim what we believe and who we are. You see, when someone says they're a Christian, when someone says they want to join a church, you generally look at these things and say, hey, here's what we agree on. We agree to do these things. You know, in your bulletin, there's a statement here about people going to church here. I commit to pray for the fellowship of believers, for our pastors, our leaders. I commit to do all I can to preserve our unity and fellowship. It's in here. We commit to do these things. We're not perfect. We'll mess up. We mess up a lot. But it goes back to being servants of Jesus Christ, knowing the basics. On that page, we list our core values: prayer, Bible, fellowship. We need to pray. Pray for each other. Pray for our community. We need to read our Bible. How do we know what to believe without reading Scripture? Fellowship, to meet together, to encourage each other. And giving. Giving of our sacrifice, our time, our effort, of our money. We had an offering this morning asking for money to help run the church. Service, to serve one another. The nursery, mowing the yard, teaching classes. Working for the Easter egg hunt, working for the harvest party. All those different things. We serve. Outreach. We don't just meet to encourage one another and go home. We are called to take the good news of Jesus Christ out. Basic, fundamental things in the faith. So, when we met last Wednesday, we talked about that class on the Messiah, Jewish history. And some of it was really boom, 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 really fast. And it was exciting and it was new, and some of it we didn't agree with. It's good stuff to know. And we learn in our faith. But even with a class like that, what matters more importantly is the things we've read today about the basics of the faith. See, some people like to keep learning new and new and more things. And that's great. But I'd rather have somebody who just knows the basics and does them than somebody who gets really smart and doesn't do anything with it. See, we're called to be teachers of the faith, to reach out with the love of Jesus Christ to those around us, ministers of Christ. This is foundational for all of us. So even though I make fun of the annual meeting, I can make fun of bylaws, I can make fun of professors, but we're like the teachers in a class who can teach the basics. This is a wrench. It's a 9/16. We can all learn to use that. The basics. It's great when people know Hebrew, when people know Greek, but we need to know English, our English Bible. The others, there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to know the foundational issues of Church 101, the basic that Christ has given us. Teach and live out and command those things to our community, to each other, to the next generation. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come together today for our annual meeting, as we read your word, living out the faith, let us be ministers of Christ. We thank you for the hands that have prepared the food here today, that we can meet today. Lord, we just thank you for the things you've given us. We pray that we can just be a beacon and a light to our community for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. As we close today, before we set up for the luncheon, the prayer rails are open on each side to pray. And if you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, you've read about it, you've talked about it, whether here or online, but you've just never made a commitment to the basics of following Jesus Christ and making him your Lord and disciple, let me visit with you or pray with you today or reach out to me online. Amen and amen.